Somehow every single time I forget you're gonna do it, because the way you you set it up, you're just like, you know, you're like, goodbye everybody, goodbye, goodbye, and I'm like, oh my god, it's time for me to turn the thing off, and then you're like, mow it real quick. I'm like, oh no. Every single time you somehow, you think I'd learn by now, but yeah.
No, I like to keep you on your toes. Like, mow, are we rolling right now?
Hey, yeah, I'm rolling on my end.
Oh hell yeah, I'm rolling on my end. Welcome to Loser Leaves Wrestling. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Moet Jaswal. Moet, how are we today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Red. How are you?
Good, good. Wait, this is Loser Leaves Wrestling presents The News You Can't Lose. The News You Can't Lose. This is from October 25th to October 31st. Moet, lots happened this week. Mm-hmm. Lots happened this week.
Tell me about it. What? I genuinely don't know anything that happened this week. I don't know where this is going to go.
That was very funny. But just letting you know, please go listen to our podcast. Our podcast is blowing up right now. If you haven't subscribed and listened to already, you're missing out. You're missing out. And please review us. Give us a goddamn review. I see the numbers doubling. It's doubling, Moet. All over the place.
Very nice. Very nice.
But a first news story. First news story of the night. Randy Orton wins his title for the 14th time, Moet. He wins the championship for the 14th time. Now he's right up there. I think he's number three or four. Or three. Yeah. Oh. I think it's John Cena, Ric Flair, and then Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Where's
Charlotte Flair in all this? Where does she... How many does she have? She's pretty close.
You know,
she's
that's
got like
a good
14
question
as well, I think.
What do I just realize, Moet? We have computers in front of us, and I never use it. Charlotte Flair title reign.
Generally, I try to stay present with you and kind of engage and be quick.
No. You're right. That's the best way to go about it. She has four with Raw, five with SmackDown. That's nine. Two with NXT. That's 11. And one Divas Championship. That's 12. Does that count? Yeah, that all counts.
Oh, the Divas? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's 12, so. 12 championships. She's not there yet. She's not there yet.
She's a little
bit
further
away. Are you excited about this, Moet? Are you a big Randy Orton fan, or have you ever been?
I've never really been a fan of his, like, consistent, you know, he's had great moments.
Sure.
He's had great, you know, I'm a sucker for the RKO when it's, like, really impressive. He did one with Matt Sydal that was really good. He did one, you know, the Seth Rollins one at WrestleMania. Those are fun moments, but I don't really care about him as a character I felt nothing when you told me he won the belt.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, I've
always wanted to. I just, like you said, the character has just never done it for me. I don't know what his character is supposed to be. Right now, I guess he's Grizzled Vet. But that's the extent of it, you know? And like, I've never seen much depth to it besides, like, in the beginning, he was this suave legend killer. Like, that made sense to me. And then ever since he departed Evolution, he's never, ever clicked.
Yeah, and as a fan, I'm annoyed by this, but as someone that hates working for other people and jobs, I love how much he visibly doesn't give a shit.
Sure.
For like 80% of the time that he's in the ring, you know, or just around, like he just does not care, and I think that's really funny.
Because even him not caring at all, it's still a decent match.
Mm-hmm.
It's always decent. It's never... Well, maybe there have been bad. But what we're moving on. Randy Orton's taking too much of our time.
Oh, well, do you ever see those? Oh, well, hold on. Did you ever see those clips of him, like fan clips of him, like at the end of an episode? You know, like they're filming the end of an episode of Raw or whatever. And he's like selling. He just got hit in the back of the head. He's laying on the outside. And he's just holding. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, it's just like little clips where he does it, where he's just hurting. And then he like looks up at a fan. He's still hurting. He's like... Are we still rolling? Do you think, you know, or he looks at the guy, he's like, are we still rolling? Or he looks at the camera guy, I think. I don't think a fan would freaking know if they're still rolling. Yeah, what am I saying? But yeah, he's like, are we still rolling? Are we still? And then once he gets the okay, he's like, okay. And then he just stands up and then walks away.
I love him so much more now. It's 20 more reigns. 20 more reigns for Randy Orton. Next up, we got some sad news, Moet. Tracy Smothers, long time, he died. He passed away. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
You looked up as if you did. You were surprised that I didn't even mention Tracy Smothers.
Well, I was surprised because I was like, oh, I know this one. I know. I've done a little research for this one. I don't think I actually really knew much about Tracy Smothers or really anything, so it didn't hit me. But I've been watching clips, and my God, that guy was good.
Yeah.
He was a menace. He pissed people off in a real fun way. That's a shame. I saw a clip of him wrestling a bear.
Yeah,
which
I saw
really
the bear.
Exciting.
The bear is fun. Do you have a favorite thing that you've seen from since you're watching?
just his general vibe. Like, I like, I saw one promo of his thug promo. I think he's just a mean dude. He just could take a lot, and he like could really piss people off. I saw a clip where he was in the ring, and the fan started throwing things at him, you know, like cups or whatever, but he would just like grab it and just chuck it back at the audience, and he would like, you know, egg them on. And then he would throw, like, one fucking guy threw a chair in the ring, tried to throw a chair at him, and he just grabbed the chair and threw it right back in the audience, and he just kept pissing people off. Yeah. And yeah, it was great. I haven't seen anything like that. What about you?
I just loved his time in the FBI. That's the only thing I knew really of him before his death. And honestly, I never really paid attention to him. But I've always heard people love him. I just never gave him a real shot. But I do remember him in the FBI, and I just always remembered Foley describing the FBI and being like, and Tracy Smothers, like, the Southern, good old Southern boy in the FBI. Like, he's not Italian at all. But it was a lot of fun. But he died at the age of, I think, 58 from lymphoma.
Young.
Lymphoma.
Real young. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, apparently his heart got messed up from the chemotherapy, and that didn't help. But why don't we want him to be good? Rest in power, Tracy Smothers. Next up, Mowat. AEW and WWE are both interested in signing Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa lost the belt to Serena Deeb the past week. And apparently there's been some interest from both sides about acquiring her. She's already appeared on AEW, you know, as the NWA champ. How do you feel about this? Are you excited for Thunder Rosa? Do you fear for her going to WWE?
I heard that she's actually leaning towards WWE or is possibly already signed with them. I don't know if she signed. That might be too far, but I heard she's like heavily rumored to be in WWE instead of AEW.
Oh, I don't like
I like it. I'm fine with it.
I like her in AEW. I like her whole thing. But like, in all honesty, WWE has a better women's division, and she'll be treated better there, given more time there, than she would at AEW.
Well, yeah, and like always, you know, like, the WWE, like, main brands are toxic, but NXT, the women's brand, or division in NXT is one of the best in the world, and has been for at least a couple years now, whereas AEW has absolutely nothing for women at all, ever. So, except for Britt Baker. So, it makes way more sense from her perspective,
Serena
of why she would choose WWE. Yeah.
They've got Serena Deeb.
No, they have like a few good wrestlers. They just don't seem to care about the division, which we could talk about, I think, for ages. I don't know. I've been reading about it, thinking about why that is the case. And it's very interesting. You want to hear one thing I read on, I saw on Reddit?
Sure.
A very interesting theory about how, you might like this, it's like the AEW is essentially the Young Bucks primarily and the Elite's friends. If you're friends with the Young Bucks, if you're Eddie Kingston, if you're Matt Sydal, if you're, you know, whatever, all these people, then you'll probably get a shot in AEW or get seen in general. But I think it just seems like the Young Bucks don't have any female friends or never like either talk to them or were in the right promotions, like PWG isn't. Or may, you know, like, or they're Christian and they just don't talk to women or be friends in the same way, you know. So that might be a reason why there's like a lack of care and like friendliness of like, oh, Matt Sydal's here now. Look at that, that's cool, you know. Weird theory.
You just painted a very interesting picture, Mowat. The Young Bucks characters are that they're incels. That don't have any female friends and that are very jaded towards women. They're Christian little like twerps. They talk like annoying, whiny, like it makes sense. I had a dream the other day and where they changed their name to the Young Cucks. And this makes a lot more sense.
No, but you can't be incel if you're married though.
They're right? Characters, Mowat. They're wrestling characters. Kane's not really a monster from hell, Mowat. They are incels that are terrified of women being a part of their promotion, and they're just so upset that the FTR has the belts, but they run the promotion. They gave it to them, and they want to see FTR with the belts because they're cucks. So they're young cucks. I think this is very fun.
This is good. This is good.
Yeah, I think we have. We could spend an entire... We should do a special on the Young Cucks. We'll figure it out. We'll talk about that afterward. Let's move on. Pete Dunne is back. Pete Dunne is back. And he's joined Pat McAfee to battle the Undisputed Era.
I don't think that's how you pronounce his name.
McAfee?
I think it's I think it's that one, but I don't know for
McAfee? McAfee?
McAfee? McAfee? Yeah. I don't know. It just sounded very strange to my ears, but maybe. I'd rather not. I don't even know. I can't.
Joe Rogan White.
Yes, so. Yes, there you go.
But he's joined. I'm glad Pete Dunne's back. And maybe, because people liked his match with Adam Cole, maybe he's interesting. I don't know. I just have no, I don't watch enough to even think of him, Pat McAfee, McAfee.
I think he nailed it. I think that's what it was. The first McAfee? One. Yeah, I think that was
Pat
right.
McAfee?
Yeah.
Okay. But like, I have no, do you care? Do you care about Pat McAfee?
His promo was really good. He's really good on the mic. He was shockingly good in ring for a first timer. It's stupid as hell that he pulled off like an NXT style match, but the actual athletics and what he did were like really incredible. I think it's stupid because it doesn't make sense to me why a celebrity, even if they are like have like a athletic background, like it should be capable of doing that like in story.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. It was cool. I think he announced that he was supposed to be with Ridge Holland, I think, who just like totally ruined his leg. His injury. So they were pushing him to feud with Adam Cole. But then immediately after that, immediately after they announced essentially that was the storyline, he had this like horrific injury. So that is all to say Pete Dunne coming in and then the two bald guys.
Love them. Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. I am obsessed with those two. They are my favorite tag team.
They look insane.
And
they look
matches,
so strange.
They have the best matches. They have the best tag team matches I've seen since the early 2000s. They have so much fire, and they wrestle so differently than anyone else. Oh, man, do I love them.
Yeah, but I think those three guys coming in with Pat, I think that was, like, they had to pivot, like, in real time and try to find another sort of faction for Pat to come around. So, like, Pete Dunne coming in, I think, makes sense with Pat. I think it's a good, team. And it's kind of impressive how they're able to pivot that way and bring in still like an exciting star into the ring. So it's good
Hell
stuff.
Hell yeah. Well, I'm glad Pete Dunne's back because Pete Dunne, I think he was stranded over in the UK because of COVID. I think that was the reason. And just like someone else we're going to talk about in a little bit. I'm not going to jump ahead, but we're moving on. WB has dropped Matt from Matt Riddle. WB has dropped Matt from Matt Riddle. So he's just Riddle. Which he seems to be fine with. Deeper dive into this, they think the idea is that when you type Matt Riddle into Google, his accusations come up. If you just type Riddle, they're hoping that that doesn't happen, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a normal thing these days where they drop the first name or the last name and they just give them one name, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, it's
extra
stupid.
He's got a good name for it.
It's extra stupid because he is already a star as Matt Riddle, and he was like a UFC star. Well, not he wasn't a star there, but he performed there as his name, Matt Riddle.
Real
so.
Well.
Yeah.
Wasn't he
so,
undefeated?
I actually don't know his record or anything. I just know he got fired for drug testing. So I didn't even like, I wasn't even able to pay attention to him before he got out. So, cause I don't check everybody in UFC. It's too exhausting to keep track of everyone. It's stupid. It's unnecessary and dumb. That's WWE.
That's WWE.
And pro wrestling, really.
Well, sometimes I like it. Sometimes I like it, but sometimes I don't. Like, I liked when they cut off Alexander Rusev's to just Rusev. I liked Rusev better. Alexander Rusev, I didn't like. But people like, I don't know, what's Cesaro's first name? What was Cesaro's name?
Antonio. Antonio Cesaro.
Antonio Cesaro. I love that. I loved that when he had it, and I was upset when they changed it. But either way, moving on. WWE and Netflix sign groundbreaking deal, Moed. Groundbreaking deal. They're doing a docu-series, I guess, on Vince McMahon, and it's the highest budget doc in Netflix history. Highest budget doc in Netflix history.
Interesting.
That's, yeah, and it's no longer... So, remember that movie that they were going to have, the biopic?
Yeah.
And they were going to have Bradley Cooper be Vince?
Yeah, okay. I didn't know they cast him already.
They were going for that route, but like they cast it preliminarily. They didn't even finish a script yet. That's been dropped. That's been effectively dropped. This is the new focus. Are you excited about it?
I'll watch it for sure. They have a the director, what I heard was the same guy that did Firefest Doc, one of the Firefest Docs. So he's good. He's really talented. So
I haven't seen a single Firefest thing.
There were two of them that came out somehow at the exact same time, and they were great. I mean, because I didn't know anything about Firefest. I read about, like, while it was happening, I saw like people post about it, but I just didn't. I was like, I don't care about festivals, whatever this controversy is. But man, it is fascinating. It's a train wreck. I think
I didn't
like
want to give them more power. Ugh.
What, Firefest?
Just saying their name out loud, because it's the whole thing is about this fake festival that somehow made money.
Yeah. Right?
And so, well, like, I feel like they became fake by spreading the word about themselves, almost like a magic. Like, we kept saying their names, so then eventually, like, it got more and more popping. People post about it. I don't even want to give them a view on their thing that's exposing them.
Red, don't worry. They're dead forever. I think the owner is, like, in jail or something, or he's in very, very bad territory for screwing over all these rich kids.
What if he gets out? Moving on, we got this one. Jake Hager remains undefeated in MMA.
Yeah.
Did you watch the fight?
I actually didn't. I haven't had a chance to yet. I just saw the highlights. I don't watch it because it was in Bellator, so and then also he was wrestling like a 40-year-old guy, so.
Brandon Carlton, also undefeated. Also undefeated. Jake Hager wore AEW gear. He wore the Inner Circle t-shirt, and he had AEW right over his crotch.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And this is his longest fight ever, because his fights have always finished in the first round, and this one went to three, and he won by decision, when in all honesty, I watched it this morning, I think the other guy won.
Yeah, it was a close call or whatever. Yeah, I only saw he almost got knocked out in the second round, and it looked so sloppy. He wasn't even defending himself at points, so I don't know. He doesn't seem to be that good. They seem to be, like, I mean, he's good, obviously, because he's in Bellator. I couldn't fucking do what he's doing, but like he seems to be lacking a lot of skills to actually be seen as a threat. You know, they're picking all of these cans for him to destroy, basically. So yeah, I think the moment he gets like a real fighter, that it's gonna be a bad look.
This guy was pretty bad. Like, this guy was pretty fucking, he looked like a threat. I don't know, I know nothing about fighting, but it looked like this guy was a big challenge. And he was also undefeated. I don't know what undefeats mean. You're right. They're picking and choosing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I shouldn't be. This is not an MMA podcast. Red, moving on. WWE superstars shut down their Twitch streams, Moet. They officially shut them down. AJ Styles gave a message to his fans. Mia Yim also shutters down. And Paige gave a tearful, sad goodbye to her fans. Is this hurting?
What's the question? Is this hurting? Is this hurting me? Who's
the world? Yourself? I give a broad question to allow a lot of feedback in, you know? That's my new interview style. Just being like, let you interpret what my question means and give me whatever you want back.
That's brilliant, that's pretty good psychology.
It's my new deal.
Yeah, I would say it is hurting. It is hurting a lot.
Right. Sorry. It's
hurt. Now, did you hear Paige is talking about unionizing? Like, she seems fired up about that. She's like, we gotta form a union, which is awesome.
Love it. And Yang, the last person to publicly talk about that at her level is Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
You know, and he got fired. So I wonder what kind of backlash is gonna come at her for even saying the words unionization. That's crazy. Did you hear about the wrestlers in the back? You said Andrew Yang, right? That they're talking to Andrew Yang?
Yeah. What about the wrestlers in the back?
They're reaching out to Andrew Yang.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Wrestlers
apparently
backstage at WWE are that they had this big meeting with Vince McMahon, with some of the Twitch people or some of the people that are using these third-party platforms, and it didn't go well. And apparently wrestlers are talking to Andrew Yang like he's going to be some sort of savior. But in all honesty, Andrew Yang can do zero. No one could do anything if Trump's in office.
Really?
Because he's got a lot of protections for WWE. Like, he supports WWE wholeheartedly. Linda's a part of his small business cabinet. They opened up wrestling in Florida before they did anything else. Like, so, you know, nothing else was open besides wrestling. They protect wrestling like nobody's business. But Andrew Yang was even saying how FedEx has been fighting the independent contractor label and they're losing. So, and they're much bigger than WWE. What do you see is going to happen with this, Mowat?
I hope something happens. I feel like a pessimist in this. Like, I feel like it's so difficult for fighters to unionize for reasons I don't understand that go way over my head. Like, UFC also has that issue. For MMA fighters, like, it's hard for everyone to kind of, because, like, I've heard, like, Daniel Cormier in the MMA world describe it of, like, once you, like, every, you know, at a certain point you want to unionize because you're not getting the best deals, like, the best contracts. But then once you start, like, a Conor McGregor or someone. Yeah, once you start talking about it, they'll just give you a ton of money, and then you got yours, and then you, all of a sudden someone like Conor isn't talking about unionizing anymore, so that you lose, like, those big influencers. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm, like, making it sound super simple.
No, because that's it. But it hurts the people in the top percent. The top percent, once you get to that level where you're basically unlimited, unfettered, you know, there's no cap for you, you get to run away, you get to, like, get away with murder with how much you make. But until you get to that level, they abuse those people in those contracts. Mm-hmm. Just like with, you know, music industry, wrestling, competitive fighting, sports, they, you know, in general, they like college sports, like there has to be some sort of unionization. And the reason that they don't unionize is because those big people don't want to step down. Those big people don't want to make a stand and don't want to speak up. Which is very sad, but it's very promising, Mowat. Yeah. Very promising. We got big things on the horizon. Moving on. We got another overseas wrestler coming back. We got Pac returning.
Yes.
Returning this Wednesday.
I wonder if he's actually going to be there, or it sounded like he was going to be like a live stream, what do you, like Zoom call or something, a Zoom chat with
Pac. I'm assuming that's going to be it, I don't think... I don't even know how flights working. I don't know what international travel looks like anymore, if they're even allowed. There has to be international travel. People are obviously doing it. I just don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, because America is shut down. We can't, countries are not allowing Americans in.
Yeah.
So I would assume people aren't allowing, you know, countries aren't allowing people into America to go back.
They're sneaking across the fucking border into Mexico and taking flights out there, Mowat. Now we wish we had the border wall to stop Americans to getting into Mexico.
There you go. Yeah. It's
Mexico's
ironic,
gonna
make
a big, beautiful wall, and America's gonna pay for it.
There you go. Yeah, I'm excited for Pac though. I miss that mean bastard. So hopefully he'll come back.
I just rewatched Orange Cassidy versus Pac. Real fun. Good. Real star-making moment for Orange Cassidy. Moving on, biggest news of the night. Biggest news. The Gunn family and Lee Johnson have joined the Nightmare family.
What?
Yeah. The Gunn family and Lee Johnson have joined the Nightmare family. Breaking news, Mowat. This is new.
Where did
Cody send out a post saying that the Gunn family is a part of them. And same with Lee Johnson, who I don't know who Lee Johnson is. I'm not sure.
He's like a dark wrestler. So okay. He hasn't been on Dynamite as far as I know. Yeah.
So then Billy and Austin Gunn, they're a part of it. I got a great picture for you. When I pulled the pictures, there's one that's just like a picture of them next to the Nightmare Family logo. You probably could see it when you Google it, but they're a part of it. Mowat.
This is a day ago. This is crazy.
Talk about packing. Jeez Louise, they have created this unstoppable force, the Nightmare Factory. They've got Cody at the top, and listen to these heavy hitters they got below. QT Marshall, Austin Gunn, Billy Gunn, Lee Johnson. Who could stop them at this? Arn Anderson?
Yeah. Arn Anderson. Yeah. Well, you know, numbers defy this. You know, like the more people you have, the more powerful you are. And they have a lot of people. They have a lot.
I find this to be so stupid. So stupid. Because, like, it's not like a Team Taz where he's actively trying to recruit people. Then it makes sense to me. Because he's trying to make a group, you know? Or the Dark Order, who's, like, recruiting people that feel low and depressed and they grab them from underneath. But the Nightmare Family is literally him and his fam. And the fact that you're trying to bring it, it's so dumb. It's so dumb. Because they're trying to set up a feud, I guess, between a big Nightmare Family versus the Dark Order.
Yeah.
They're trying to have this big, huge shoot.
Yeah, basically.
Where they're probably going to do some sort of Battle Royal or Royal Rumble type match where the members come in. It's going to be a huge match because it's going to have 15 on one side, 15 on the other. It's going to be huge. I hate it.
They're going to be all in the ring. Yeah, they're all going to, just like their 8-man tags or whatever, every single person.
Do you remember Slobberknocker?
No, I was reading about this. It's an elimination for the belt, right?
I think it's never been done in wrestling besides in the video games. There was a Slobberknocker mode where you'd stand in the ring and people would run in. You had to beat them real fast or hit them with your finisher and just do it real fast. And I would just love it for them to have a Slobberknocker match where like someone's in the ring, someone jumps in and you got to beat them. And whoever wins, then the other person, the other team jumps in. And then they have to do that a weird gauntlet style match with all those people.
That's pretty good. Yeah. There was a Inspire Pro Wrestling in Austin, Texas. They did a N60, not a Slobberknocker, but it reminds me, they did a N64 Gauntlet Battle Royal. Like an N64 No Mercy Gauntlet Battle Royal, where like it's just the video game rules, but in real life, where there's four people in the ring, and anytime one person loses, then another person comes in, and that happens every, I don't know. Yeah. It's a fun idea.
I love that.
Yeah, and it starts with two people, and then a third, a fourth, and then it's just four people until, and then once you get eliminated through pinfall or over the top rope, I think you're allowed, a new person runs in. So it's like a Royal Rumble and Gauntlet match kind of combined.
That's perfect. Perfect. I want that really bad. I would love to see that match. That sounds like a fun-ass Battle Royal. Lord. Hopefully they're listening, because they have been listening to us recently, obviously, with the changes they've been making. And the last story of the night, Moet, the last one, Sting is no longer under contract with WWE. His stuff has been taken off the website because he hasn't signed a new Legends deal. And I have a question for you, Moet. How long before we see Cody face him for the TNT Championship?
Ooh. Never. Probably never. But I like that thought process. That's fun. That could be, you don't see like old timers challenging for the belt. That'd be fun.
I would love an old timer. They've got them. Well, like imagine an X-Pac coming in to face Cody. That would be amazing. I don't know why I went from Sting to Cody, to X-Pac. They're not necessarily related, but like Sting, I think has another match in him. I think he has another match in him. I like Sting matches. I like old man Sting matches.
You do?
Like, have you ever watched his matches from TNA?
No, I just saw the character stuff. Like, the when he became the Joker and all that stuff. You didn't like that?
I didn't watch
it. I thought it was... Oh, I liked it. I watched that stuff because I love schlock and terrible shit in my content. And this was, that hit all those. It was very silly and over the top.
I haven't seen it. I was always curious, but I was always worried about it, so I just didn't.
He did a great job. He was great, but also it's just stupid as hell. And that's, you know, that's fun in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you don't see him coming into AEW as a wrestler or wrestling any match? Again?
I could see him if he wanted to be probably like a manager role, because they love doing that in AEW, bringing in like older celebrity wrestlers basically as manager roles. But he got into some really bad like concussions where he just said he's retired and doesn't want to wrestle anymore. Like Seth Rollins like practically killed him in the ring.
No, that was barely anything. It was whiplash. He's fine.
That happened like twice though. It happened like a couple times, like in a few week period.
Don't do that move anymore. Calm down, Seth Rollins. Why don't we have a manage?
Who's that?
Darby Allin.
Darby Allin. Yes. Yeah. That's he's basically 100%. Trying to.
Why don't
rip
you
want to
make some cool fucking videos? Have Darby Allin go walking in the woods one day, and you just see him walk around. Then he comes across Sting, and for the next few weeks, you have these video packages of him being Mr. Miyagi to his Karate Kid, where he's just teaching him how to be brooding and teaching holding a bat, and like it's like he's like, you can't, he smashes his skateboard with a bat, and then he takes his skateboard and eventually breaks the bat with the skateboard. He's like, you learned, you've made it.
And then they jump off a cliff together.
They jump off a cliff together.
There's got to be an extreme thing. He zips him into a body bag and tosses him down a river.
And then Sting turns into a crow and flies away, and Darby Allin turns into a trash bag and just goes right into the ocean.
And just flies in the wind. Just so it's got to be a good windy day for it to catch.
Like
properly.
American Beauty.
Yes. Just a big industrial-sized garbage bag.
Well, Moet, that was all of our news. That was the news you can't lose, and now we're going to the mailbag. Mailman Moet coming in with the hot mail. It's too late now. Can't turn back.
We got mail. I didn't know this.
I checked before and it looks like we got some mail, Moet. Mailman Moet coming to the rescue. I wish we had a jingle.
I'm so excited. We need a jingle.
Yeah.
And prior warning about the mailbag.
Never will give you prior warning. Never will.
We got a TikTok verification code. I think that's not interesting at all.
That was me verifying her TikTok.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope that's working out. We have a lot of YouTube. A lot of YouTube. Red Jefferson, here we go. We got one from Samantha from Hernando, Florida. Florida viewer. Wow.
Wow, we're getting some Florida people. Okay.
Samantha asks, who wins in a shoot fight? Road Dogg or Shane Helms?
Oh, interesting.
A shoot fight. Yeah. I think I know why Samantha brought these two up, but what do you think?
Well, it was because what is his name? Road Dogg he's not a mask person. Shane Helms called him out online about it. Did you hear about this?
I thought you meant like a mask, like in pro wrestling. Oh, yeah. Because like, Shane Helms had like the face paint mask. No, you mean the COVID mask wearing. Yeah,
Road Dogg is against mask, and Shane took him to school. Shane really took him to school, which was really fun and very funny. Who would win in a fight?
I think Shane Helms. I think Shane Helms would kick his ass. Road Dogg's ass. Road Dogg is always kind of hid behind Triple H, behind HBK, his friends. I don't think he's got it. Red.
I think he's got the height and weight, but I think Shane has just this ugly chip on his shoulder. He seems like the person that just really has an axe to grind, and he just wants to fight. I could see him like just picking fights at bars. I pick Shane Helms as well.
I think so.
Great question, Samantha from Hernando, Florida.
Yeah, wonderful. That was really great. All right, so we got, looks like we just got two more, unless I'm mistaken, but second one we got from Shay. We got Shay from Sydney. I think dialect from Sydney, Australia.
Shay.
Because it starts with, oi! If you had to pick the next AEW champion, who would you want then? I'm sorry, okay. Shay from Sydney. There was some typos.
You did a good Australian accent. That was pretty good. Well, Moet, answer him. If you had to pick the next AEW champion, who would it be then?
Who are we on now? Eddie Kingston versus Jon Moxley is happening. I guess this is kind of broad.
Who would your ideal next champion be?
I see. Yeah, because Jon Moxley, I think, he's doing a good job as being the top right now.
Yes.
I think, you know, whatever is I'm kind of all over the place on his matches, his quality, but he's a good, like,
he's a good champ.
Flag bearer, you know, for the company.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to see somebody like a younger up-and-comer sort of get the belt. Someone that feels believable, of course. But, you know, we've had two sort of older veterans of the sport so far, Chris Jericho and Jon Moxley, maybe. Ricky Starks, hell, even Darby Allin, maybe. I don't know. Someone, I'm just thinking, who's got
Darby
it right now?
Allin.
Yeah, he's kind of, I mean, his in-ring work is so good. He's just being so stupid right now. If they just like fixed him up a little bit, you know?
I guess it's hard because I would like someone younger, but I feel like the young thing should be a surprise. I like the idea of the championship going to vets for the most part, or not necessarily vets, but people who have been there a while, and it's a surprise when, like, a young person gets it, you know, like, if a Darby Allin got it, it should be like, holy fuck, this kid just won it.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
I would love for it to be, like, honestly, I think Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega should be the next champ.
He needs time to come back to that old style, though. Like, it's so sad. That's another, like, topic, I feel. But, like, New Japan Kenny Omega deserved the world. He deserved everything. But AEW Kenny Omega doesn't have that same aura about him yet. And I think I'm hoping he kind of brings that back on the 7th at Full Gear. But otherwise, in general, I would agree with you. Maybe not right now.
If I'm booking right now, I'm having Kenny Omega beat Hangman Page in the finals, right? Kenny Omega beats Jon Moxley for the title. And then for a full year, you get Hangman Page trying to go after that title.
Yeah.
Maybe not a full year. But maybe 6 months, somewhere mid-2021.
Hangman deserves the title.
Yeah.
He deserves it after losing it against Jericho for the title initially. I think.
And that's when his drinking started. That's when his drinking problem started.
We're all kind of, I think we're all waiting for that big moment, that big full circle moment when he gets back, gets the title challenge again. That, Pentagon, I think. I'd like to see Pentagon.
Pentagon would be cool. But if he had the arm breaker and then he could treat it like a real thing where he's like, he's winning matches, but he's breaking people's arms. So then they're just like, we have to stop you from using this move. And then he tries to find clever ways for the ref not to see it so they can break people's arms and still get the championship, be a real shit heel. That would be pretty cool.
Lucha Underground one, he wasn't like a shit heel. He was a menace. And that's what I liked. Like, he would just toss like referees out there. He would like bring chairs, just knock them out, and then do the arm breaker.
He was a Tasmanian devil.
Liked about him. And he's really good at that, I think. Because you don't see... like Lance Archer does that. You don't see many others that kind of have that vibe about them. Like, oh, this guy is dangerous. And Pentagon could do it. He's just like in the mid card. I don't know why. Just struggling. But
actually, anyways. I just had a quick thought. Back to if Hangman loses to Kenny Omega, which I think he will, Hangman should go deeper into alcohol. I think, like, after he loses, Kenny Omega gets the championship. Like, you see Hangman start drinking more and more, then Kenny wins the championship, and you see him fall off a cliff. He's not showing up to shows, all this stuff, and it goes on for maybe like a month or two before people bring him back. I don't know who would bring him back or help him out, but someone helps him out, and then slowly but surely he gets his courage back. All this thing, because his drinking started when he lost, his bad drinking started because of Jericho, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, around that time.
Man, there's so much they could do with this.
It's good.
Well, I think we answered it. Mo at once. Penta, I want Kenny Omega.
There you go. All right. Great question, Shay. So now we got one more. We got the last one. We got Barney from Shithead, Pennsylvania. What's wrong? Wait. Okay. What's the best submission in the world?
What's the best submission in the world, Mo? Where is he from?
Barney from Shithead, Pennsylvania.
Saying from Shithead, Pennsylvania. That's pretty funny.
Red. No,
Barney. Don't make fun of Barney's hometown, Moet.
Schitt's Creek has shown us. It's a normal name.
We're not gonna make fun of Shithead, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania,
Shithead, Pennsylvania, great place.
ED.
Go Nuggets.
Yes.
But
yes,
what's the best submission move in the world, Moet?
Sharpshooter, without a doubt, the sharpshooter.
Oh,
Bret Hart's sharpshooter. The guy itself, I think, plays it off. But that's been always my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta go. Which one are you gonna go?
Sharpshooter, or my personal favorite, the surfboard. I've always loved a surfboard.
Okay, let's break this up into two. You picked best looking one, sharpshooter, but your most fun one.
Yes, exactly. Surfboard. Yes, that's exactly how I did it. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
What about you?
I would go best looking crippler crossface. Best one, because you got a picture of both their faces. You see one in like intensity and one in excruciating pain. You get both visuals. Easy reverse out of, but easy to get you into. I like those. Most fun, the one I really like. You ever see the butterfly hold?
What's that?
It's I don't know if it's called a butterfly hold, but it's the best way to describe it. It's hard to describe. It looks like an anaconda vice, but your legs are wrapped around. I can't describe it. Let me go for a simpler one. I like a dragon sleeper.
Dragon sleeper is super cool.
Where, I love that.
Kind of an inverted guillotine in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Inverted guillotine with the leg vine. I like the leg vine.
Yeah. That one's good. Daniel Bryan used to have incredible submissions. That's what I think of his surfboard. He did that really, really well. And the cattle mutilation that he would do is insane. So I like those.
Also the Rings of Saturn. Because I loved the name. I love the name because it's named Perry Saturn and it works so good.
Yeah.
Lord, so that was from Shay, Barney, and
Let me check.
Samantha.
Samantha, Shay. Yeah.
Thank you so much. What a great time. Mailman Moet with another mailbag in the books. And that was the News You Can't Lose with the Loser Leaves Wrestling Crew. Please like and subscribe and listen to our podcast. It's on Apple and Spotify, all the places you can listen to podcasts. And follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Loser Leaves Wrestling, Loser Leaves Pod at Twitter, and Loser Leaves Pod at Gmail. If you want to get into the mailbag, Loser Leaves Pod at Gmail, right, Bowen?
Yeah, do it. Do it. Send it over. I get to read it online. It's great.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Mohit, do we have anything else to say? Anything we got?
Nope, that's all. That's all, folks.
Mohit and the world of Candyland, what's the breaking news? The headline in Candyland today.
The breaking news today, the candy canes fucked a goat in the...
That's in the news? That's in the headline?
Candyland is dangerous.
Thank you all so much for watching! Bye! That's the best one we've ever done.